pill testing. It's one of those controversial issues that doesn't seem to go away, and it probably won't as long as young people are attending festivals and taking drugs. Most politicians offer a familiar response in the wake of a fatal overdose, expressing condolences but affirming their zero tolerance response to drugs. Just a few weeks ago, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian once again said that her government would not consider pill testing. Well, a new study, though, published today in the journal Drug and Alcohol Review, reviews the evidence of whether pill testing is a good idea purely at the level of reducing harm. ABC Science editor Jonathan Webb has been taking a look at the findings. Good morning to you.
Morning, Hamish.
So what did the researchers find in this new study?
Well, this was an interesting survey that really went out and tried to meet people who might be and indeed are using pill testing in the wild, if you like. This was a survey of 350 ecstasy users in the dance scene in New York City. It's a study done by US and Australian researchers. And what they found was that, first of all, more than 20%, 23.1% of the ecstasy users had their ecstasy tested within the last year. So it was something that they were engaging with. But one of the really interesting findings was that more than half of them said that if they had a negative test, if something like methamphetamine or even bath salts, you know, an impurity, a dangerous impurity was found in their pills, it would make them less likely not just to take the pill, but to use ecstasy again, because it kind of, I guess, fostered a mistrust in the drug. And so it's an interesting finding that kind of paints a picture of exactly what the effect might be on drug use of, you know, rolling out testing more widely.
How does this compare with the views of experts more widely? Because I know we've spoken on this program to people like Matt Noffs from the Ted Noffs Foundation, who were involved in trials locally, and that seems pretty consistent with what he said, at least.
Generally is, yeah. So health experts and researchers generally favour this kind of pragmatic approach, right? Like the zero tolerance approach, however it might be rolled out, doesn't necessarily seem to work. Hospitalisations for ecstasy use are actually on the rise, for example, in New South Wales. And if it's going on, the idea is we can use pill testing to minimise harm, and today's study kind of backs that up further. If you look at countries where it's more widely available, places like the Netherlands and other countries in Europe, there is evidence that it does reduce harm and it doesn't actually increase use of drugs necessarily, which is one of the fears about rolling out pill testing. And the single trial that we have had in Australia at the Groove and the Move Festival earlier this year in Canberra, in fact, definitely showed some benefits. There was very dangerous stuff found in some of the pills that were tested at that time, as you probably remember from the news. But it's never, as you said, had any more widespread approval or traction in Australia, really.
All right, from Groove in the Moon to Groove in the Moon, in July next year, it'll be 50 years since the Apollo 11 astronauts made their first ever moon landing. But exactly 50 years ago today, a different group of astronauts lifted off from Florida, circled the Earth, and then spent their Christmas Eve in orbit around the moon, further from home than any other human had ever been. This is the story of Apollo 8, which is probably one of the more forgotten missions. So in comparison with the moon landing 6 months later, but they made a lot of history even in that short trip, didn't they?
They sure did, yeah. So if you think back 50 years ago today, they were blasting off, and then Christmas Eve, they entered orbit around the moon. And
this, it's a long way to go to avoid the family Christmas.
It sure is. And no one had been anywhere near that far before. The previous furthest anyone had been from Earth was about 1,400 kilometres. That was one of the Gemini missions a couple of years earlier. And the US space program really got the wind up. There was a rumor that the Soviets were going to send astronauts around the moon by the end of 1968. And so NASA skipped a couple of tests and really pulled out all the stops and went ahead with Apollo 8, which sent astronauts 275 times further, all of those 380,000 kilometres away to reach the moon. And then not only that, go around the other side of it and into orbit around it. And that kind of trajectory was completely unrehearsed for a craft that big, for a craft with people in it. The rocket was untested. It was the first time the Saturn V had been used to blast off a craft with people on board. And that moment, if you imagine going around the other side of the moon for the first time as a person, not only have you never been that far, anyone's never ever been that far from home, you're risking potentially drifting off into space. They were risking spending the rest of their lives trapped around the moon if they couldn't find their engines and get back. And there was a 36 or 38 minute period as they first went around the other side of the moon when obviously we lost signal and Houston couldn't speak to them. An incredibly tense kind of moment on Christmas Eve, 1968. But then after that very, very tense period, there was this sound from NASA's public affairs announcer at Mission Control.
We've got it. We've got it. Apollo 8 now in lunar orbit. There's a cheer in this room.
So the first thing that they actually heard when they heard from the astronauts themselves, Frank Borman, Bill Anders and Jim Lovell, as they did come back around the other side, were a lot of practical checks. It wasn't particularly exultant. Obviously, the mission controllers were very relieved. But then eventually, we did hear this from Frank Borman about what exactly they'd seen on the other side.
Apollo 8, Houston, what does the old moon look like? 60 miles, over.
Okay, Houston. The moon is essentially gray. No color. Looks like plaster of Paris. Or sort of a grayish beach sand.
Bit of an anticlimax, really.
Well, if you've got your feet on beach sand on Christmas Eve, or if you're enjoying it with your family, just spare a thought for those astronauts who spent their Christmas around the moon exactly 50 years ago.
How risky was that mission?
It was pretty extraordinary, actually. There was a senior figure at NASA at the time who was famous for his straight talking, and he was on the record as telling one of the partners of the astronauts at the time when she went and said, look, honestly, what's the chance that Frank's going to come back again? He said 50-50.
Wow.
The rocket wasn't tested. They'd never sent anyone this far away. And in particular, they had to burn their engines multiple times on that mission in order to be able to keep going, accomplish their orbits and get home again. And they really didn't know whether or not that was going to work. It was a white knuckle ride.
These early missions did a lot to contribute to science more broadly. What was the contribution of this trip?
So Apollo 8 really was a trailblazer because it paved the way for the missions that came after and then eventually did land, you know, being able to see the moon with human eyes and start to map it out, start to look at the likely landing places was, much more immediate than being able to look at the data that we'd had from satellites. And to prove all the mechanics that we could actually get people into space, into orbit around the moon. They didn't have a lander on that Apollo 8 mission, but all of that was history-making in and of itself. They did live broadcasts from while they were up there to an audience for the first time of a billion people or so back here on Earth on television and on radio as well. But actually, and Bill Anders is on the record as having said this multiple times since, it sort of surprised him that having gone all that way to study the moon, what they really discovered was the Earth, because the most iconic picture from that mission, I'm sure everyone can picture it, is called Earthrise, and shows our own little planet rising above the surface of the moon and really puts everything into perspective in a way that we'd never seen before.
Dr. Jonathan Webb, thank you very much. Your last edition of the program for this year, as it is for me. Thank you for all of your wonderful work throughout 2018. I know RN listeners enjoy your segments each week. So Merry Christmas.
Pleasure, Hamish. To you too.